Oh, yeah, I didn't put the title together, yeah. Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. If I haven't said it, which I know I have, but I'll say it again, whether you believe me or not. I'm so thankful for everybody that calls this church their home. You're so faithful. You come when you're not feeling good. You come when you're tired, come from work, and you make the trip. Those of you that drive far, don't think that your faithfulness does not go unnoticed or that it doesn't matter, because it does. Genesis 25, 29, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." And therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat, and he drank, and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. So I just want to maybe share with you for a few minutes today a thought. Trashing your treasure. Trashing your treasure. You want to pray for us? Go ahead.
Lord God, I pray for the service right now. God, I pray that you touch every single one of our hearts and minds, God, that we'll receive something from this word, God. And we won't just think it's another Wednesday, God, but we'll look forward to it, God, and just apply this to our life, God. In Jesus' mighty name.
Seated. Thank you. So, a quick recap. Esau is only thinking about now. Now, if you forgive me, I'm probably gonna take the filters and shut them off for the night. Now, that might not be good. It may be okay. I don't know. When our flesh gets loud, our future gets quiet. The more you let your flesh make decisions for you, the less likely you'll think 1 ounce about eternity, about what God is doing in your life, about what God wants to do, about what's happening in your family. I've said for years, and I'm going to say it again, I'm trying to find a nice constructive way of saying this. I have very little, I don't even know the word. It just boggles my mind when people make decisions and they don't care what happens to their kids because of their decision. I've said it for years. I can't process it. I can't wrap my mind around it. You can't kiss your kids on the cheek at night and say, "I love you," and then not be willing to pay whatever price is required to make sure that they have a good, healthy relationship with the Lord. And can I tell you something, Brother Klein, that I've heard from a lot of, from several mothers in the last couple years, numerous of them, all backslidden, of course. When their kids are young, they stopped caring what they did and they started doing whatever they wanted to do, acting like an idiot, running around late at night, sitting out in their phones in the parking lot till 2 o'clock in the morning on TikTok where their kids sat inside doing nothing. And they said to me, numerous, "I paid my dues. I've done my part. They can raise themselves now." Because when your flesh goes unchecked, your future gets really quiet. Esau was hungry. Some of us can understand that today. I will confess, I can't go on. I did eat a sandwich midday because I had some blood tests and they took a whole ton of blood. She had like a stack of vials, and I thought, what are you trying to do to me? Somebody that doesn't like me must have called you and said, just keep on drawing. I don't know who it was. So he was hungry. The enemy always shows up at your weakest moment. I was talking to a pastor today, and he was telling me about a family that the man just kind of quit going to church, and he said, you know, about once a year, you know, he'd tell me, well, Pastor, I just need a break. You know, I miss a couple services. Just stay home, a vacation. And he said, and now he doesn't want to come to church. I said, he has no prayer life. He said, you're right. I know I'm right. You can't have a prayer life and feel that way. When you don't have a prayer life, you'll go for so long, but when you're hungry, when your flesh begins to cry out for things, the enemy knows that you're weak, and that's the time that he will swoop in like a flood. And so what you won't guard in strength, you will trade in your weakness. People trade. They trade righteousness. They trade morality. They trade purity. They trade all those things in moments of weakness because they quit guarding themselves because they were hungry. Not for food, as in Esau's case, but it's the example that we get to follow. And so, ultimately, you'll never protect what you don't value. If you value it, you'll protect it. Now, some of y'all gun people, they come in my house, I got a gun everywhere, I'm going to blow their brains out. I commend you. I mean, you don't have to live like that, but okay, it's all good. But I do at least value the fact that you cared enough to protect your house. Now, I don't know what you can do. Five guys come in. If you can get to from five different exits or entrances, I don't know. But good luck with that, as SpongeBob said. But you got to protect, or you will protect what you value. I value my family, and so I will protect my family. And sometimes I protect my family from myself. I protect my family from my own flesh. I protect them from my own stupidity. There, I said it about myself. I choose to make decisions that won't harm them because I care more about protect. Why? Because I value them. When you stop valuing your husband or your wife, you will no longer protect them. You will only attack them, belittle them. I've said 1,000 times, and I'm going to say to this church and to you ladies, when you get together for your marriage fellowship, I've told you, and I'm going to say it again, if it gets to the point where you're just sitting there having your husband for an evening, then we'll shut it down, because that's not what ladies' marriage fellowship is about. It's not about eating your husband up and spitting them out. I don't care what his problems are. You don't fix something by tearing it apart. Now, no worries, when the men get together for Bible study, they don't talk about it. And I would say the same thing if they did. So, and Esau was finished, he went. The Bible says he just went. He left. No conviction, no hesitation. He just moved on. It's kind of like some people at the end of service every Sunday. They just go, no conviction, no hesitation. Some of you that, you know, altar time is your moment to exit. I can't understand it. You must be holy, holy, holy. Because I've never seen some, I mean, sometimes, I don't know. You got the point. I'll just move on. And then when he left, the Bible said he despised his birthright. It's like when you walk out and you just start griping about the church. Complaining about the message. Complaining about this was said and that was said. That means you despise your birthright. I feel some of y'all in the Holy Ghost, you want to argue. That's it, because that's what you do with your whole life is arguing. You haven't shut up long enough to let God speak to you. That's why you're still in the same. I told you, filter's off. That's why you're still in the same situation you've been in for years. Sometimes you just got to shut up long enough to let God speak. That's Bible. A wise man shutteth his lips. It's Bible. No, ladies, you're not excluded. That's not gender. He despised his birthright. All the while, watch this. All the while, Jacob, he was willing to buy, barter, swindle, do whatever for that birthright. Jacob had a greater understanding of the value of what he was after than his own brother did. The one who stood first in line to inherit everything that his father would pass down. And we're not talking about monetary. We're talking about spiritual things that would be passed down. And would be passed down not just to Esau, but for generations. But Jacob had a greater understanding of that birthright. Over the years, I've witnessed to people. And it wasn't the people that I was witnessing to that wound up in church giving their life to the Lord. It was somebody else that was listening. And they had a greater understanding and they valued more what was being said and what they were hearing than the person that I was speaking to. And when you value it, you go after it. When you value it, you don't need to be invited to the altar. When you value it, you don't need to be invited to give. When you value it, you don't just punch your time clock and say, well, we had two services enough this week. That's enough. You don't have to be at church. You know, I'll watch revival online. That's people that don't value their birthright. Now, I'm going to just come to you very plain today, but not in a critical way, even though it may sound that way. Esau allowed a hasty decision based off of his emotions to cause him to diminish his birthright. He effectively was trashing his treasure. Why? For some momentary happiness. It's like an affair. Momentary. It's like stealing something that looks good. Just in the moment. What Jacob stood to inherit. Now, this is going to sound boring to you. Because I won't use words like $1 million. I won't use things like is land as far as you can see. I won't say anything about wealth or fame. And so that's boring to the common person. But one thing was a double portion of his inheritance. Now, I know there's monetary value there, but it wasn't all monetary. Leadership, his family, his covenant, blessings, things that you can't see, things that you can't always put your finger on, things that are of greater value than any amount of money that you could ever obtain. I think we could rightfully say tonight, and many of us here would understand it very well, that as much as we desire money, we've learned that money just doesn't fix anything. You may be able to go buy more stuff, but it won't fix one thing in your life or in your family. Nothing. But see, Jacob understood that. He understood that it was more than monetary gain. There was something spiritual that would follow him. It would succeed him in his death. It would be passed on to generations, and there would be a permanent change in his lineage and those that would inherit what it was. He understood all of that, and so he wanted it so bad. He was willing to deceive his own brother, and I would probably suggest to you that he didn't have a real hard time doing it because he realized that Esau probably doesn't care about it anyway. He'd already showed enough that he didn't care about it. Why? Because sometimes when you inherit things, you just don't really understand the value of it. And so, when we don't understand the value of what we have, and things, people are valued more than spiritual, emotions, momentary reactions, being right, winning an argument. We've lost sight of our inheritance. We've lost sight of our birthright. It's a promise by God. It's a pledge. It's something that you cannot replace. It is irreplaceable. And when we lose sight of all that, you know what happens? We completely diminish the price that was paid at Calvary. Because the price of the cross was not for wealth or gain, even though sometimes God will bless with that. But that wasn't what the cross was about. The cross was about restoration and redemption. The cross was about taking brokenness and making it whole again. The cross was about taking a bastard and making them a child of the King. The cross was about taking the fatherless in the spirit, and I believe even in the natural, and giving them a father. I was thinking about that this past week, about him being an everlasting father. And there's something, I would say that's more important today in this generation of people that grow up without fathers or without mothers. There's something there that's more important than just trying to patch a family together. Trying to find a replacement, a world that's lost the value of it. But all of those things he gave us at Calvary. And when we lose sight of our birthright, we completely lose sight of the price that Jesus paid at Calvary. Now listen, I can't do that justice tonight because I don't have the ability or the words. But I guess if you were on your deathbed and you know you were about to die and you wasn't sure, it would make sense to you. And for those of us that have been taken from a life without God, without truth, without understanding, sometimes I think it makes a little more sense because you see both sides of the aisle. I didn't say those who are raised in church don't understand the value. I believe they absolutely do, but only when they get to the place where you realize the world and all that it has to offer is not the answer. And so when you begin to weigh those things out, whether you come from the world or whether you were born on a pew, when you begin to weigh them out and you look at the other side and you realize there's no value in that and you understand the birthright that you have obtained, the right to call Jesus Father, the right to come to the altar and lift your hands and give him praise, the right to embrace the word and let it become food for you, daily nourishment and enrichment, the right to throw yourself down at the altar when there's sin in your life and say, Lord, take it from my shoulders. I don't want to carry it anymore. That's the value. That's the birthright. But when we're not careful, we just become used to just trashing our treasure, pretending as if it never existed. Hebrews 12 and 11, just a couple verses, says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So things that are tough and they're toughly said might not be pleasant for the moment, but they have a far greater lasting effect. Now, I know everybody's not me, but I've said many times, it was the toughest things that my pastor said to me that have stuck with me forever, and those were the things that changed my life and changed my direction. I'd rather have that than anything. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. If you understand your birthright, can I just make a very plain statement? Stop pouting like a child. Stop pouting like a child. Lift up your hands, because I'm not praising him because my day or my week has been good. I'm praising him because I understand how good he is, and I understand the value of my birthright, and I understand that I've inherited something I've never worked for, that I've never earned, but it's been passed down to me because of the love of Jesus Christ and because of the price, the high price that was paid at Calvary. But see, that's hard to understand too. To try and preach to people about an event that took place 2,026 years ago and asked us to really understand it, That's foolish. We can't understand it. We can't. But when you come to a place where you begin to really value and understand this birthright, when you get in your prayer rooms, I believe there are things that God will help you see and help you feel to really understand the effects of the cross. And so he said, lift up your hands which hang down and your feeble knees. Stop pouting. You're a child of the King. What are you pouting about? Because you had a bad day? Now, can I just be, I told you, filter off. Can I just be real for a minute? It could be worse, whatever you're going through. You could be bearing a child today. But you're not. You got a reason to praise God. You got a reason to give him thanks. It could be worse, whatever you're going through. You could have got a terminal diagnosis this week, but you didn't. You got a reason to praise God. You got a reason to shout. And you say, but what about those that did? Then when they understand their birthright and they understand that that child is probably with the Lord today, and they understand that every decision they made, it brought them here to this moment. And because of their decisions, because they understood their birthright, their child is with Jesus. And that's not a little thing. And so that's in essence what Paul's saying. Lift up the hands. I'm just kind of putting some life into it for you. And the feeble knees, anxiousness, nerves, all that. Make your paths straight for your feet. Stop praying and asking God to fix your problems. God's going to tell you, you fix them. You don't believe that, do you? I was praying once and asking God for something, and the Lord said, it's right there in the Word, just go for it. What are you asking me for? The answers are here, but see, we don't like the answers always. You know, those words like forgive. But you don't know what happened to me. And you don't know what happened to Jesus. Now, I'm being honest now. I've had to forgive a lot in my life, a lot. You see, you feel it tighten up when you just speak the word. Just tighten up. He's just trying to come after me again. No, God's coming after you because you're acting stupid. It's truth. God don't like stupid. He said, love your enemies. Love them that spitefully use you. That's not hard. You know why? Because it could always be worse. And when you understand the value of your birthright, I don't know, I consider it a blessing. I feel like I've offended some of you now. Make your path straight. It's your job. It's your job to fix your life. He'll help you. He'll give us the strength. But he's already given us the answers. God, how do I get rid of this bitterness? Right in the book. Right in the Bible. Right there. God, take it away. He's not going to take it away. Not happening. You got to want it to go. When I understand my birthright, I'm like, nah, I'm not letting that junk sit there and robbing me of what God has for me. No siree. You say, oh, you've never had, don't you tell me what I've had to do. Don't you tell me. I've went to people and I told my wife, I said, I will not allow bitterness to set in my spirit. I'm going to write them a letter and I'm going to ask them to forgive me for something they did. And I did. Why? Because I'm not letting somebody else rob me of my birthright. I'm not letting somebody else take from me what Jesus paid everything for. I'm not letting my joy get sucked out of me because some dingbat in this world. I'm not doing it. Absolutely. But when you don't value, if you don't understand the value of what you have, you always take that treasure and you just throw it in the trash. And so he says, make your path straight, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So sometimes your healing is tied up in your ability to value what you already have. Follow peace with all men. That's a good one. Follow peace. Don't follow the path of bitterness. Don't follow the path of stubbornness. People be so stubborn. You know, they're good at preaching to other people, don't realize stubbornness is like witchcraft. Don't talk about somebody else's sin, you stubborn mule, you. I'm being honest. Stubborn. He said, follow peace. I don't know about you, but I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to let that garbage take over me. I don't want to let it control me. I want the peace of God that passes all understanding. Hold on. How many times you got to preach it? I know you don't understand. You don't understand why or how or any of those things. That's why you need the peace of God that passes all. And when you understand your birthright, you know that peace comes right. It comes with that birthright. Who wants to live miserable? Who wants to live bitter, angry, hurt? I didn't. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can't see the Lord without holiness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Well, you could just preach on that, Brother Klein. Lest any root of bitterness springs up and troubles you, vexes you, eats at you, and thereby defiles you. I'm not going to let that happen. I understand who I am. You didn't hear me. You need to understand who you are. You're not a throwaway. I don't care who told you what. You're not a no good. You're not a worth nothing. You're so worth everything to the Lord. So much so that he uses me to keep reaching for you. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that afterward, when we would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So I'm going to say to you right now, before I go on, you need to repent tonight. Whoever you are, whatever you're dealing with, you need to repent. You need to come to the altar, and you need to repent and ask God, God, forgive me. I let my flesh take over. I let it get the best of me. I understand who I am, and because I'm a child of the Lord, I can bring this and lay it down. When you understand your birthright, you realize repentance is about as easy as it gets. But, oh, we're so stubborn, we just can't even say I'm sorry to God or to anybody else. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Esau chose what he could see, what he could smell, what he could taste. He didn't choose what he was unable to see. And so when you get to this point, it's like you're throwing away everything, again, that the cross paid for. And we live below our worth by rejecting the wisdom and the word of God. We live beneath our worth. I understand that people have a problem with self-value. You know what happens? I'm going to talk for a minute. And I'll finish up here shortly. Do you know what happens when you don't value yourself? You treat yourself like trash. You let people treat you like trash. You let people use you. You let yourself be used. You use other people. Why? Because you have no value of yourself. But when you learn to value yourself, see, you won't value yourself until you understand the value that Jesus places on you. That's the truth. I know it sounds like so easy, it's silly, but to understand that the Lord places such a high value on every single person that he would go to the cross and pay that horrible price, and the effects of which would trickle down through the end of time. And in fact, any person that would ask for it. I know I'm probably boring some of you tonight, but I'm just trying to reach a little bit. And so Romans 8:22, it says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Our world is like hurting. And I got news for you. Trump ain't fixed it yet. Our world is hurting. People are hurting. And it's very hard sometimes to help hurting people understand the value of their birthright. It's very hard to help hurting people. How many young women turn themselves over to prostitution because they feel like there's no other way? And so they'll find a place, and they'll sell themselves because they no longer understand their value. And they think it's more important to have a few bucks. I'm not faulting them for it. For those of you that don't know, Sandy Agurga went into prostitution when she was a child, teenager. She told us that story in California. Why? Because she knew no other way out. Esau, whether he understood or not, he did not value himself. He did not value his birthright. You will not value yourself, and you will treat yourself however Satan wants you to treat yourself until you understand that you are more important and more valuable to the Lord than what you'll ever begin to fully grasp. So the whole creation groaneth, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, for the redemption of our body. Something inside of us that longs for it. Long, even though we don't act like it, even though we don't make the decisions sometimes that show that, we long for it. We long for it. We long for it. What baby is that that's trying to preach over me? Okay, it's all right. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Now listen to me. I'm coming to an end. Hope that is seen is not hope. You've got to stop focusing on what you see in front of you. You've got to stop. Got to stop. Hope is not always seen. Hope is what's behind the curtain, revealed at a time of the Lord's choosing. So how would that look? I don't know. That would apply different to every single person. Think of the worst thing that you're going through right now in your life. And hope says, it will be okay. You don't have to throw your life away. You don't have to throw relationships and friendships away. You don't have to throw those closest to you away because you feel like you got to protect yourself from the world. Hope says, it will be okay. But see, you can't see hope according to the scripture. So it's hard. It's hard for Esau because he couldn't see. He couldn't see hope and he thought, I'm going to die. I can have some soup. I don't know, how long did a man go without eating? I mean, I'm thinking he was out in the woods hunting. Okay, maybe a day. You're going to die? You definitely are not cut out for New Testament fasting. I mean, you think you're going to die? And one bowl of soup satisfies you? You know what I'm talking about. You get done fasting on Wednesday for about 3/4 of the day, and you go home and you stuff yourself so full. Ain't nobody here gets done fasting on Wednesday, and you go home and you say, honey, will you make me a bowl of soup? I feel like I'm going to die. No, it's sandwich upon sandwich, and you're shoving chips down your throat while you're waiting for the microwave dinner. You're heating up whatever was made for dinner that day, waiting for you. You know what I'm talking about. Hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we with patience wait for it. So what do you want? What do you need from the Lord? Come on, we're going to talk about birthright here for a second before I finish. What do you need? Well, I've had hope, Pastor. Nothing's happened. Keep hoping. You can't see it. You can't see it. You can't, but hope is a powerful tool. Hope has kept people alive in prison cells. Hope has kept POWs alive for years, captured by the adversary. Hope is a powerful tool. But if Satan can cause you to sell your birthright for something stupid, you'll never have hope. You'll never have hope that it'll be okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to do something a little different here. I'm going to ask you to empty the front rows. I'm going to ask you to bring those chairs, those front row chairs, bring them forward just about 2 carpet squares. probably when we lived, we were just, I would probably say about 20 years ago. We just left Parma a couple years earlier. And so we still had a lot of associations there. My brother calls me one night, midnight. He said, pray for so-and-so. His name was Shane. He said he backed out of his driveway and he was hit by a car. Now, I knew where Shane lived. His driveway was probably 100 feet long or more. They live up there in Medina on a back road of Medina. No traffic. And I'm thinking, at midnight, ain't no traffic. Okay, so someone hit him, maybe broke his arm or something. Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. I went back to sleep. A little bit later, he calls me up again. He says, pray for Shane. He said, they don't think he's going to make it. I said, what? Now my mind starts turning. What in the world happened? Well, somebody was driving down that road over 100 miles an hour. They were going so fast, when he backed out, he never saw them. They rear-ended him, and he slipped off into eternity that day. I said all that to say, sometimes we're not desperate enough. I'm not going up there and going to embarrass myself. That woman, that mother, went to that hospital, and she wailed and cried in tongues as loud as she could. She didn't care who heard her, because she was desperate to save her son's life. Don't let God bring you to that point where you lose all, what's the word? Someone help me out. Pride. Get it while it's young. Kill the seed before it takes root. And so I'm going to ask you, whoever you may be, and you might say, well, you know, I haven't really thought about my birthright. It's been a tough couple weeks. That's who I want to come. I want to know if you're brave enough to come up here and sit on one of these chairs. There's no sin, there's no shame in battling. There's no shame in battling hell. Thank you for your honesty. I've decided, Brother TJ, I'm going to do everything God wants me, because I don't ever want Sister Edwards to be in the place where I'm pleading for my child's life. God, tell me what you want me to do right now. Just keep them healthy. I believe in you for anything, but I don't. If we need more chairs, bring up the next row. Just pull them forward. God handpicked you. I say it all the time. You didn't, if you had to bring them up here, Brother Kenny, keep an aisle open in case someone's got to run out in the fire. You never know. You pull them right up behind this other row here if you have to. It's not always easy, I'm finishing. It's not easy understanding your value and your worth in a world that just throws anything away when it gets to be a year too old. You know, we cry about our tennis shoes because they're a year old, and you got people in other parts of the world walk around their bare feet all the time. They'd love to have that pair of tennis shoes. That's who we are in America. That's just who we are. Our clothes don't match, so we're throwing them in the trash. We got to make sure everything looks perfect, matches perfect. And so it's hard sometimes in such a crazy world to slow down long enough to realize that I do still matter to the Lord. And I do have an inheritance, and I have a promise. And my promise is of eternity. All I want to do is make sure my children are in heaven. That's it. That's it. Nothing matters more than that. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing matters more than that they're saved. Nothing. 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 Now, I got to stop. But you may feel the same way as I do. Do you feel the same way about yourself? Because it's easy. It's easy to care for other people, but sometimes it's really hard to care about your own self. That's where we draw the line. And that's normally, there's a lot of reasons for it. It could be the way that you were made to feel as you grew up. And so you have a very hard time putting value on yourself. So I want some people to come up and just kneel on the floor behind these folks so they don't know who you are. And all I want you to do is I want you to lay your hands on their shoulder, and I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to help them know their value. Don't trash the treasure that God has given them. Don't throw away everything that God has done to this point. Don't let your flesh get the best of you where you don't think before you act. You've got to tell yourself tonight that I have a birthright, I have a promise, I have an inheritance that's weighing in the balance, is on the line. I will not lose it, and I will not give it up. I will not sell it for anything. Whatever pride I've got to swallow, however much repentance I've got to do, I'm going to do it. And when you do, if their offense is towards you, don't hold it over them. If Jesus lets it go, let it go. Can I get some people to come up here, kneel behind them and pray? Listen, if you're on these chairs, I want you to close your eyes right now, if you would. Please close your eyes. Just don't look around. Don't think. Don't think about anything or anybody. Don't think about whose hands are on your shoulders. I would love for you to say a few words that are hard to say. I matter to the Lord. He loved me enough. He reached for me. He found me. He pulled me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. And I'm not going to let go of this birthright. I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm not going to let go of this birthright for anything. I'm not going to sell it for anything. I'm not going to let a temporary moment of weakness cause me to trade it off, to barter it off for a moment of temporary happiness or temporary fulfillment. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because I have a birthright. I have a promise. It's mine. God gave it to me. Jesus paid for it at Calvary, and he passed it down. Come on, I want you to keep your eyes closed and pray if you would. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's easy to forget when and where the Lord found you. In a moment of turmoil, in a moment of chaos, in a moment of anger, it's easy to forget that he already pulled you out of the trash. And he made you a treasure. Huh. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, lift up your feeble hands. Straighten your weakened knees. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody else might have tossed you away, but the Lord will never do that. So do not sell your birthright for anything. Do not let go of it. Do not trade it in. Don't take it to the pawn shop. You matter so much that God told me to preach to you tonight. Do not trash your treasure. And all my life you have been faithful. Hallelujah. Don't give up on them. Pray. Hallelujah. Because you don't know what everybody here is going through, Jesus. With every Come on, pretend like you're desperate. I will sing, Lord, I'm desperate. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing.
Don't beat yourself up because you had a bad day, because you messed up. Don't beat yourself to death because you feel like you failed the people around you. Repent. Give it to God today. Give it to Him. Lord, I'm going to be a better man. I'll be a better woman if you help me. And He says to you, you have a birthright. You have a promise. Of course I'll help you. Of course I'll step in. Where you are weak, I am made strong in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I want you to pray for them in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. If you're sitting in a chair and you have the Holy Ghost, don't think that you don't deserve it. God already gave it to you. Pray in the Spirit right now. Pray in the Spirit right now and let yourself be strengthened. Let yourself be encouraged. When you don't have the strength, God will be your strength. But let His Spirit flow in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, I really feel the presence of the Lord beginning to try and help, but we got to keep on for a minute. We got to keep on for a minute. I'm going to come by and pray for you, so don't you move from your seat if you would, please. Hallelujah.
When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? Oh, you are, yes, you are more than able. Yes, you are more. Yes, you are more than able. Yes, you are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Come on, tell the Lord, I'm not trashing my treasure tonight. I'm not trashing my treasure tonight. Hatayabahash. I matter to God. I matter to Him. I matter to Him.
I see all that I have. And I've got my confidence back. I put my trust in the one who still does miracles.
You do miracles. You are more than. is you are more than able. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes, you are more.
Come on, some of you have backed off because you feel like God doesn't want to use you anymore. I'm here to debunk that theory. God wants to use you. He needs to use us.
What the Lord can do.
Can you imagine?
Hallelujah.
With all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do. What the Lord can do. It's going to happen. Just let the waymaker through. He's gonna move. He's gonna move.
Can you imagine with all the faith in the room what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do? It's gonna happen. Just let the waymaker through. He's gonna move. He's gonna move. And can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do? It's gonna happen. Just let the waymaker through. He's gonna move. He's gonna move. Cause anything is possible. Cause anything is possible. Cause anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Cause anything is possible. Cause anything is possible. Cause anything is possible. Cause anything is possible. Anything is possible. And who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? And who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve. Cause I know who I am, and I can stay where I'm at. We've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet.
They're going to keep singing, but I want everybody, everybody under the age of 18 to come on up here and stand on this platform if you're in the sanctuary. Come on. If you're under the age of 18, would you come up here and stand?
He's not done with.
Come on, don't make me call you by name.
You're not done with me.
Come on, come on up here and stand and face that direction.
There's so much more to the story.
You're come on the platform, guys. Come up on the platform. I want them to see you. Come on.
Yet. He's not done with me. Yeah. He's not done with me. Yeah.
They're worth it.
There's
if there's any reason that I'm not going to sell my birthright, it's because it's about them. That's why. Come on, somebody. You ought to stretch your hands toward them right now and pray for every one of these young people. Look how great a group of young people on a Wednesday night at church. Come on, stretch your hands and pray for them. Go ahead, Brother Tyler. Hallelujah. Just stay there, young people. Let us pray for you.
You're not done with me, yeah. He's not done with me, yeah. He's not done with me, yeah. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me.
Young people, grab the hands of the person beside you. Grab the hand and join with them. Hallelujah. 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 God has... God, hey, turn it down 1 second, Brother Tyler. One second. Just play. God has plans for you. God has plans. And let me tell you something. The devil knows that God has plans for you. So he wants you to sell your birthright. And you're old enough. You make a decision tonight. I'm not going to sell this thing for anything. I'm not going to trade it in. I'm not going to barter it off. Not for fame. Not for friends. Not for a look. But I'm going to hold on to with everything that I've got. Come on. Believe in yourself the way we believe in you. Go ahead and sing now without any music for a second, Brother Tyler. Sing without any music for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, help them to know their birthright tonight. Help them to know their birthright tonight. Help them to know their birthright. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Yes. He's got plans for you. Hallelujah.
You're not done with me yet.
Esau, don't sell your birthright because they need you to hold on to it. Don't trade it in. They need you to hold on to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. There's so much story. You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me.
Pastor Klein, while they sing, would you come up and pray over us? Pray over everybody here. Just to give us a good closing prayer.
Lord Jesus, God, this evening as we come unto your throne, we're thankful, God, for the spirit that is in this room right now. God, help us to realize, Lord, that we are the very reason that you went to the cross. God, that you came to this earth and robed yourself in flesh and suffered a horrible death. God, that we might be saved. And Lord, that while you were on the cross, we were on your mind. Lord, whether we are the youngest in here or the oldest in this room or anywhere in between, God, help us to realize this evening, Lord, how much you care for us, how much you love us, Lord, and how much you value us. And if you value us, Lord, we ought to value ourselves and value one another. Help us, Lord, not to despise the youth that is on this stage, but to realize, God, that you've put a gift down inside of them, the same gift that you've given to us, Lord, and realize that if we'll pull ourselves together, God, and we'll repent of the things that we know we're not supposed to do, the things that we don't even appreciate about ourselves, Lord God, if we'll give them to you, Lord, you can do what it is that your word says that you can do, Lord. We can heed the good of the land, Lord, if we'll be willing and obedient, Lord. Help us, God, all to pull or bind ourselves together with cords of love that cannot be broken, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you, God, because it's because of you that we have this promise. It's your birthright that you've given to every one of us, Lord. Help us to treasure it the way that you do, God. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. Go with us as we leave this place, Lord, and help us not to forget this word that's been spoken over us this evening, but to hide it deep away in our souls, Lord, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, we know that your spirit will lift up a standard against it. We thank you, God. We appreciate you, Lord. You've been good to us, Lord. Thankful for your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.